Hello and welcome to episode number 5 of Orcs in the Basement, an RPG video game podcast. Your friendly neighborhood podcast all the way from weird Portland, Oregon. I'm your host, Jay Ortega. In today's episode, I say goodbye to the summer as we look back at the games that recently came off the backlog, what I'm currently playing, and what's up ahead in upcoming RPG releases. As a reminder, I'm always happy to read your questions and letters during the show. If you're wanting to write in, you can email me at orcsinthebasement@gmail.com for future mailbag episodes. You can also follow the podcast on social media. Currently, you can find me on Blue Sky at orcsinthebasement.psky.social and now on Instagram at orcsinthebasementpod. So I took some weeks off from the podcast to get ready for PTO, but I'm back and excited to share some thoughts on the state of the backlog. While off, I got caught up on some good shows like Berserk, The Golden Age Arc, Scavenger's Reign, Fearin, and Carol and the End of the World. All incredible. I highly recommend them. I'll talk about them more later in the show, and I'll include some trigger warnings as well. I also watched Kingslave, Final Fantasy XV, the movie that went along with the game. The story is canon and is supposed to be a prequel to the game, but I ended up watching in reverse order. I really enjoyed it. I will add the caveat that I feel like I wouldn't have liked it as much had I not played the game. So as a standalone piece of media, I wouldn't rate it so highly, but coming in, knowing the story, I was able to dive and really appreciate all the nods to the series and the game, so I had a good time. But I feel like it's a little bit too much to ask when you're wanting both pieces of media to be consumed as one cohesive narrative, but more on that later. First, let's look at the quest board. First, a game that has been the talk of the town as of late is Fields of Mistria, a fantasy farming sim RPG that came out earlier this month. In Game Rant's article, Why Fields of Mistria High Magic Blends Perfectly with Its Farming Sim Roots, by Lauren Beeler-Bastad, it says, Fields of Mistria is one of the newest farming simulation games on the block, and its fun blend of magic and tending to the land has proven to be a special mix. Inspired by RPGs of the 90s, Fields of Mistria quickly caught the attention of gamers with its nostalgic aesthetic and simple gameplay mechanics. However, one of the best parts of the game is its heavy embrace of magic. After an earthquake strikes and the titular town of Mistria, magic quickly begins flowing through the land that players have been tasked with tending. The homestead players are in charge of in Fields of Mistria is full of potential, but juggling that on top of the mysteries of magic makes for some intriguing gameplay. Although Stardew Valley kickstarts fresh interest in the farming simulation genre, Fields of Mistria's take on the style of games that has really struck a chord with many players, and it is particularly due to these magical elements. This game looks so promising. I'm really excited. Right now I'm playing Harvestella, and a lot of what I've learned so far of Fields of Mistria reminds me a lot of that game. I'm really enjoying Harvestella, but based on the response from multiple people, it seems like this is going to be a much more popular game, so I'm really excited to delve in and get to experience it for my own. If you've already had the chance to play, please feel free to let us know. You can tag us or just send us a message with your thoughts. Next, we have Visions of Mana, which is set to be released on August 29th. According to Game Rant's article by Grayson Morales, it's been almost 20 years since a mainline Mana game has hit store shelves, so it's safe to say that many fans are pretty pumped to check out Visions of Mana once it launches on August 29th. There is going to be a slight difference in hours of when the game is released based on whether you're getting it for PC or Steam or the consoles. So keep an eye out for that. You can pre-order now. The standard edition is $59.99. And that will be released on said date. I think you'll be able to play the special edition a few hours earlier, but you have to pre-order. the digital deluxe edition. I personally don't have a history with the Mana series, despite its deep roots in the RPG genre. So many people have been telling me to check out the Mana series, but it wasn't until recently that I started playing the remake of The Legend of Mana on the PlayStation, as it's included in the PlayStation Plus subscription. It's cute, I like the characters and the story's alright, but I'm confused as to why they put all the work into the voice acting when the mouse doesn't even move. That's just one minor detail that kind of throws me off every once in a while. I've heard that outside of the visual uplift, the game stayed largely similar to the original, which is great. But in this case, I'm curious if it's just better to stick with the original. Many people will appreciate the old school graphics and art style. But, you know, there is that more updated version for those who would like a more current experience. Although I do feel they could have added a little bit more just to make it, you know, make the controls a little bit tighter, especially when it came to the fighting. I got at least through some of the dungeons so far, and I do notice a little bit of some awkwardness that I feel like should have been fixed for kind of more current times, but that's my only criticism of it. Otherwise, it's a beautiful animated game, and I'm excited to delve deeper into it. That's not the only Mana game. I also recently got an English translated version of The Trials of Mana, and I have high hopes for that one based on what the community has shared about it. It's not the remaster or the remake, it's the original with the English translation. If you're like me and you've never meaningfully played any of the Mana games and don't know where to start, may I recommend a video that was so useful to me? It's titled The Full Mana Series Retrospective on YouTube by Solace and Dread is the name of the YouTuber. It's only 23 minutes long and pretty accessible in its breakdown. Once again, it's The Full Mana Series Retrospective on YouTube by Solace and Dread. I'll also add it to the show notes. And last on the quest board, convention season is upon us. PAX West is coming to Seattle. It will go from August 30th to September 2nd. That's just a few days away. Wow. PAX West is a celebration of gaming and gaming culture featuring thought-provoking panels, a massive expo hall filled with the best publishers and studios, new game demos, musical performances, tournaments, etc. For fans of Final Fantasy XIV, there's a chance to get your hands on a bunch of cool items, and a panel with lead UI designer Ki Odagiri to look forward to at the event. I've always wanted to go, but I can only go to so many conventions. And so far, I've committed to Rose City Comic Con and Portland Retro Gaming Convention. So maybe next year. I'm actually very excited for both Rose City and PRGC. I think I'm going to go spend the day tomorrow just watching anime and working on my Senshi costume. That's right, this will be my first time doing cosplay, and I'm excited to go as Senshi from Delicious in Dungeon. I already have most of the pieces, just need to build the shield, or wok, and the axe, which I'm making from paper mache, so wish me luck. I'm really excited, I'll post photos to social media, and yeah, that's just a few weeks away as well, so it's just one convention after the other. We have PAX, then we have Rose City Comic Con, and at the end of the next month is when we'll have the Retro Gaming Expo here in Portland. So I'm excited. Even though PAX is in Seattle, I wish I could have gone. I wasn't as prepared this year to really plan it out and have enough money to go, but next year I'll be sure to get those passes and book a hotel nice and early. Otherwise, prices are just inaccessible. Once again, thank you so much for continuing to listen to the podcast. Moving forward, I do hope to have weekly episodes for y'all. I decided to take a few weeks off after the first four episodes of the show to enjoy my pay time off, and I'm so grateful I did. In the time after episode 4, I have taken a few games off my backlog, which I will get into right now. First one is Triangle Strategy, which is a 2022 tactical role-playing game co-developed by Square Enix and Art Inc. for Nintendo Switch. Overall, it took me about 80 hours to play through the game, and it presented some tactically challenging battles in the latter part of the game, so it does a really good job of just like easing you into the story and introducing you to everyone. But then once you get in the thick of it, it does get a little challenging, and you don't really have to grind. You just really have to pay attention to how you proceed with battles. So if you are someone who really likes tactically based RPGs, this is the game for you. This is one of the few ones that I've played recently, and I've really, really enjoyed it. The story was great. So Triangle Strategy is a turn-based tactical role-playing game in the vein of Fire Emblem and Final Fantasy Tactics. The player takes turns moving characters from their party across the grid, base playing field in which computer-controlled opponents must be attacked and defeated. Parts of the environment may also be exploited by players during combat. A fire attack could be used to set fire to the ground to hinder movement, while during one stage, players are given the option to destroy houses in a village in order to trap enemy units. The terrain may also affect elemental attacks to the player's advantage. For example, wet terrain may spread the range of a lightning attack, while wind attack may be used to push enemies off cliffs. The game also features exploration stages with no combat, in which the player can speak to NPCs to gain new information and find hidden items and money. And this exploration portion is also very similar. It's minimal, as in there's not a lot of it throughout the game. And the space you explore tends to be the same boards you are battling in, or at least very similar. Sans the NPCs that are normally like the non-hostile villagers or just inhabitants of the area around that board. The game features a storyline with branching paths with 4 possible unique endings. Once the credits were over, I was given the option of a new game plus, which I appreciated. So I can go back and see alternate endings. So I'm able to go back with a new game content and an increased difficulty level option. This is the 8th game to come out of my backlog this year, and it's one that is easy to pick up and do quick rounds sporadically. Overall, I'd give it an 8 out of 10. I really, really enjoyed it. I also rolled credits on Final Fantasy VI, which was incredible. One of my favorites in the series. This was my first time playing through the game, and like I mentioned, this playthrough is part of a comprehensive playthrough of all Final Fantasy games in the series. And with that, I also completed Final Fantasy XV and watched the movie, like I said, Kingslave Final Fantasy XV, that is canon to the story in the game. I think I enjoyed watching it post-gameplay, as it was a nice little swan song to the game. I enjoyed playing because of the chemistry between all 4 of the characters: Noctis, Gladiolus, Prompto, and Ignis. Literally, this chemistry, this dynamic was foundational to the story and is what makes this installment of Final Fantasy so unique and have so much character. I feel like the immediate relationship between the 4 of them is more of a cohesive story compared to a larger narrative playing with like the kingdoms and Noctis' background, Lady Luna, Freya. If anything, the film goes deeper into that lore and has more of a focus on how Lady Luna, Freya came to be engaged to Noctis, which was very interesting to see. Noctis does not appear in the film, nor do any of the other main party members. I enjoyed seeing the growth in the franchise, and this time I'm talking about while playing Final Fantasy VI relatively close to Final Fantasy XV. it was really interesting to play both of them at the same time, just because there's so many games and years in between both. But it made me really appreciate how long the franchise has come. I'll be doing deeper dives into each of these games, Final Fantasy VI and Final Fantasy XV, later on in the podcast, but since it's been a while, I really wanted to update everyone on what I've been playing, what I've rolled credits on. So far, Triangle Strategy, Final Fantasy VI, and Final Fantasy XV, which a lot of people like to dunk on, but I really, really enjoy it. And currently, I am playing another classic 90s RPG, Xenogears. I recently finished this one, which took me about 80 hours to complete. It's quite lengthy, but if you don't mind the constant random enemy encounters that are known by RPGs of this era, then I highly recommend you check out Xenogears. The story is so unique while also grabbing from so many classic RPG tropes. This is another game I think will need a couple of episodes to break down and go over. I'm currently halfway through Disc 2, and once I'm done, I will be diving deep into the 3-hour lore YouTube videos to fully understand the meaning behind every element of the story. Yes, it's one of those games, famously some people call it the video game follow-up to the Book of Genesis, because of all the religious imagery and character names throughout. This game is high on the list of RPGs from the 90s I wish got that Final Fantasy VII remake treatment. It's such a beautiful world, such a brilliant story that I feel like today's current capabilities would give the story so much justice. Particularly now that I'm on Disc 2, I feel like they really cut back on a lot of what could have been possible with exposition in Xenogears 2, particularly with like the story moving forward. There's a lot of like just panels at the end with text that you had to read through to get an idea of what had transpired. And no spoilers this time around, but I just felt like they could have, with current capabilities, they might be able to get away with a lot more and further illustrate some of that, those story arcs, peaks and valleys and all that. A few episodes back, I did share a fan-made Unreal Engine 5 quote-unquote remake of some of the portions of Xenogears, and it looked beautiful. I love and wish that it at least got that 2D HD treatment, and I think a lot of people would really be into that. So I know it's such a massive game, and in the past I've heard that games like this take such a long time to remake, but hopefully if it becomes easier and people are not put into oppressive time crunches, then I really hope that this game gets considered for a potential future remake or remaster. I would be happy with either, but I know it'd be such a big endeavor. On the topic of religious fanaticism, I started playing Cult of the Lamb, currently 8 hours in, and I'm loving the change of pace after 3 very lengthy and story-heavy RPGs. Cult of the Lamb is a roguelike video game developed by indie developer Massive Monster and published by Devolver Digital. The game was released on August 2022 for Mac, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Windows, Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S, and I think that's it. The game follows a lamb who is saved from death by a godlike stranger named The One Who Waits and must repay their debt by creating a loyal cult in its name. The game is so tongue-in-cheek. Despite its description, I would not consider it a scary game. The animation for most of the world, but especially your cult followers, is so wonderfully adorable. And it's in a large part of the game where you manage your cult full-time, assigning your fellow followers tasks and going on occasional ventures to gather more resources for your cult. I recommend this to people who love farming sims and cozy games, but are looking for something a little more exciting that breaks away from the sleepiness with a roguelike component. I think this has all the things you would love as a cozy gamer, but then adds that roguelike to keep you on your toes. I really appreciate it for that. I don't have a ton of experience with roguelikes outside of 80s, which is another amazing game. So it took me a minute or so to adjust, but got hooked after the first like hour or so of gameplay. So once again, that's Cult of the Lamb. It's such a massively popular game. Most people have heard of it, but if you still haven't given it a chance and want to check it out, I really recommend it. And it's, like I mentioned, on most platforms now anyway. Finally, a list of games I have been playing on and off from my backlog include Harvestella, Lunar, Metroid Dread, Dredge, Digimon Story, Cyber Sleuth, and that's been on there for a while. But it's so good, I really like it. Atelier Riza 2, and Pokemon Sapphire. I know this might seem like a lot of games to play at once, but I usually like having options, and once the timing aligns with the mood I'm in, I will play a game until completion. It's what's worked for me in order to prevent me from sticking to just one game and burning out on it. I was trying that last year, and I realized that I was just really trying to rush through games that I would otherwise really enjoy just because I wanted to see how much territory I could cover. And I feel like having instead a way to float in and out of games has been a lot better for the way I enjoy games. So if I'm tired of something, I'll just jump onto something else and then revisit it once I'm back in that intersection of being ready for that game. I mean, I already completed 11 games or so from my backlog, so, and that's just this year, which is a lot considering several of them have been lengthier JRPGs, famously lengthy in the case for games like Xenogears. In the Basement, an idiosyncratic RPG podcast, where we'd love to hear what your thoughts are on the state of RPGs. If you have any questions, comments, reviews, news, or shoutouts to give and to be read on the show, feel free to share via our email at orcsinthebasement@gmail.com for future mailbag episodes. You can also follow the podcast on social media. Currently, you can find me on Blue Sky at orcsinthebasement.bsky.social, and now Instagram at orcsinthebasementpod. Really appreciate your support. I will now offer you some loot for your journey back to camp. So over the break, I rolled credits on not just games, but also some really well-loved series. So all three of the following are shows that I just completely love and really recommend. Some of them I've already mentioned here before, but I will just reiterate my love for them since I completed them. First, we have Furin, Beyond Journey's End. I just finished watching this on Crunchyroll and was bawling by the end. What a great year for anime! Furin, Beyond Journey's End is an anime adapted from a Japanese manga series written by Kanehito Yamada and illustrated by Tsukasa Abe. It has been serialized in Shogakukan's Shonen Manga Magazine Weekly Shonen Sunday since April 2020. The story follows elven mage Furin, a former member of the Party of Adventures, who defeated the Demon King and restored a harmony to the world after a 10-year quest. The heroic group includes human hero Himmel, dwarven warrior Aizen, and human priest Eider. Before they part, they observe the Era meteors together, a meteor shower that occurs once in 50 years. Baron agrees to see them again and offers them a better view the next time the celestial event occurs. Baron then departs and travels the world in pursuit of magical knowledge. Baron returns to the capital 50 years later. However, humanity has changed, and her former companions have distinctly aged. After one last adventure to see the meteor shower, Himmel dies of old age. This is a contender for number one on my list of animes. I watched this year. The pacing, the world building, the characters make this such a magical experience. And I love, there's a lot to say with a lot of the plot surrounding Viren's ability to live life as essentially like an immortal being and what time means for her. Seeing things change and how she grieves for people who she meets along the way. It's just beautiful and so well written. I love the pacing of it. I feel that after more sense of urgency that is present in other animes, a lot of the conflict and the plot, this is such a welcome narrative. And I really, really enjoyed it. I never thought that it was just, it's the equivalent of going outside and touching grass in animes. It's so wonderful in the best way possible. I feel like it really forces you to take a step back, take time in, and focus on the things of the journey you wouldn't normally stop and think about. And that's why I really, really appreciate this anime. I was also bawling at the end, like I mentioned, so really, really recommend it. Next on the polar opposite of the spectrum is Berserk, the Golden Age arc. Also watching it on Crunchyroll. This is a Japanese anime, part of a film trilogy, which adapts Kentaro Miura's Berserk manga series, Golden Age arc, and was produced by Studio 4 Celsius. A soldier named Guts attracts the attention of a mercenary group, the Band of the Hawk, when he kills an enemy champion during a siege. He is forced into joining the group after being defeated in a single combat by its leader Griffith. The Band of the Hawk are employed by the Kingdom of Midland for its 100-year war against the Tudor Empire, and Griffith rises in the kingdom's hierarchy after a successful battle. Trigger warning for this show. If you do plan on watching it and don't know anything about it, there is a lot of violence in this anime. One of the reasons I initially hesitated when deciding on if I should watch it or not, but it is also such a great story, beautifully animated, and the story packs some dramatic beats and arcs, so trust, it's good. Plus, Guts and Griffith are so queer-coded, even maybe beyond queer-coded. I don't know, I'm only 3 episodes in, maybe they're a little bit more explicit about it later on. But regardless, I really like the chemistry between both of them, and I'm excited to see how it plays into the story. I'm excited to see how, not only that, but how their relationship blooms as the story moves forward. Like I mentioned, I'm only 3 episodes in, so I have to pace them out since they're a little bit heavier, like I mentioned. So if you're watching this, take care of yourself. If you're someone who is a little uncomfortable with more graphic scenes, then I recommend you either don't watch it or just, you know, prepare yourself for what you will be watching, because it is very gory. And with that, I also wanted to recommend Scavenger Drain. I won't go on about it. I didn't prepare too much thoughts. I'm still kind of processing since I recently finished it, but it's such a melancholy dystopian anime, and I really hope they come back with a season 2. I was sad to see that, even though I'm watching it at a later time now, but I was sad to read into their history and how they were canceled by HBO Max and then were picked up again by Netflix. So that's another show that I really recommend you pace it out. It has some very strong triggers. If you're someone who's uncomfortable with violence, there's a lot of gore throughout the story. But it has so much to say, and I feel like a second season would be so welcomed. They did such a good job. I normally don't consume a lot of sci-fi, but this show was just excellent. So more on my thoughts at a later time, but as of now, if you don't have anything else to watch and really want to support the show, I recommend you watch it. So with that, thank you so much for listening once again to Orcs in the Basement. This was supposed to be a shorter than normal episode, but as I'm looking at the time log, it looks like it's on par with the rest. So thank you so much for listening. Next week, I will be going into what was supposed to be this episode, Ocarina of Time, pushing that for episode 6. But with that, thank you so much for listening and supporting the podcast. I wish you well on your journey back to camp, and you're listening to Orcs in the Basement. Nos vemos!